Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this podcast, I'm going to talk about how to survive the pressure as a sole income earning parent. So before my son was born, I read several books on how to become a better parent. After all, this was my first son, and I wanted to be prepared. And I also knew that a lot of couples divorced after having kids, and I knew the statistic that marital happiness declines by something like 80 to 90% in the first few years. And that's some serious stuff, so I didn't want to mess around. So I spent hours and hours reading as many books as possible. And what I noticed is that a lot of the books talked about, you know, how to be a supportive husband, this is for my example, right, during the pregnancy process, and then how to be a supportive husband after she gives birth, talking about postpartum depression, talking about support, mental support, physical support, working through work issues and stuff like that. But there was never really much said about supporting the sole income earning parent. Now, it's interesting because to me, obviously, being a full-time parent is much, much harder than being a day job worker. It really is, folks. I mean, you have no idea if you don't have kids. It is so much harder to be a full-time parent because of the stakes, right? So one look away, you know, could be really devastating. However, at work, you can slack off, chill out at the water cooler, talk trash about your colleagues and your boss, attend social events, and drink copious amounts of free alcohol, and everything will probably be okay. However, as an emotionally competent sole income earning parent, you face the following issues. One, you have this constant stress of knowing that you have to provide for your family with no financial backup. So it's hard enough to provide for a spouse who doesn't work, but if you have an amazing, amazing little one who depends on you for everything because he or she doesn't know better and doesn't have any skills, well, that stress ramps up. Two, you have a constant guilt for being away from your child because of work, right? You are choosing money and work over your child, and that's hard for some people. Three, you're not able to find support because a day job is considered the easier job, right? I'm talking about mental support from other people who can empathize with you. And then finally, you know, it's the expectation of having to do an equal amount of parenting after a long day's work. Now, some of you might find that to be strange, but in 2018 in modern society, there is a strong pressure for you not to only be a income provider, but also a equal partner in parenting as well. So many couples fight over this division of labor. The sole income provider often wants to come home, have a drink, eat dinner, maybe watch some TV and relax before jumping into parenting duties, especially after a rough day. Meanwhile, the stay-at-home parent, who has been going nonstop since the little one woke up at 6 a.m., is probably not going to have any of that. He or she might resent the expectation of you wanting to come home and chillax because nothing is as energy-sapping as caring for an infant, right? The stakes are so high. And the sole income provider is resentful for not being allowed to take even half an hour to unwind. So you can clearly see how problems ensue and why marital happiness takes a big nosedive down in the first several years. So in this podcast and in the post, I want to see if we can help the sole income providing parent get him or her to a happier place. Now, if you want to focus on the stay-at-home parent, well, this one's not for you because there are books and books and books written about how to help support that stay-at-home parent, which is more likely the mom. So I've got 6 points I want to discuss. First, take everybody's opinion with a grain of salt. Guilt comes from inherently knowing spending more time taking care of your child is better than spending less time, especially in the crucial first 5 years of development. Guilt also stems from other people's opinions about what you should do, especially if people criticize you for choosing work and money over being a parent. It's good to get advice from more experienced parents, absolutely. That's one of the secrets to life. Just ask people who've been there before. However, as a writer who shares my struggles in finance and in fatherhood, I've come to realize that whatever you put out there will be judged. Further, a lot of parents project their guilt onto you due to their lack of parenting. For example, I shared with readers in my 2018 mid-year review that I wanted to provide 6 hours of joyful assistance or primary care to my wife and son during his waking hours. So he's up for about 12 hours a day. I use the word assistance because during the first year of life, breastfeeding is constant, and I do not have the ability to breastfeed as a man. And trust me, I looked up whether there were any breastfeeding contraptions for men, but couldn't find a viable solution. So I use the words primary care so that I take full charge for a couple hours in the morning, especially after a rough night, because my son really didn't sleep well, or at least 7-8 hours consistently, nonstop, for the first 10 to 12 months, really, because we didn't do the cry it out method because we didn't have anywhere to go to for work. And then I also wanted to provide a couple hours in the afternoon of primary care so she could have time to herself, to relax, do whatever she wants, to catch up on things. And on my, quote, off hours, which were on my work hours, really, I get to work writing and managing our investments, which itself could be a full-time job, in order for my wife to be a stay-at-home mom with me. Seems like a reasonable effort, right? I don't know. Just trying, I think, is an important thing that everybody should do. Just try harder. But not according to a reader named Sarah, who ignored my words primary care and wrote, "Sam, I can't believe I didn't catch this before. Quote, assistance to your wife? Really? Parenting, cooking, cleaning, etc. are part of being an adult and a parent, and equally your responsibility as hers. This isn't the 1950s. You're not assisting your wife. You're being a responsible adult in a relationship who shares childcare and housekeeping duties. I can't believe this is even a goal of yours. It's certainly not something you should celebrate if you achieve it, as it's really the bare minimum standard of being a parent and a spouse." So, whoa. I read that, I was thinking, really, Sarah? Here I am putting myself out there, trying to do more parenting, going from 4 hours to 6 hours. He's awake for 12 hours a day. And I was thinking, hey, maybe I can assist for half the time he's awake. And here you are bashing me over the head for trying. And it was really interesting. I was totally confused by your comment because it seemed really, really unempathetic, one. And then she followed up and said, "Look, I send my child to daycare." And I was thinking to myself, really? So you're bashing me for trying to take more care of my son while you and your husband decide to send your child to daycare so you can work all day? It totally was a messed up situation, right? And so this type of judgment is why people, why parents feel so guilty. And so this is a comment where you could see how it could start a huge fight after coming home from a full day of work if you're the sole income provider. You can also see how some men are too afraid to be stay-at-home dads due to the criticism and lack of support from other parents. You know, when stay-at-home dads just make up 2% of all stay-at-home parents, it's easy to get overrun by the majority. So I just really want folks to be more empathetic to those other parents, your fellow parents. Don't make it a competition, and to support them for trying, because we all know it's really, really difficult. So the only right way is what you and your spouse decide is the right way through constant dialogue. You need that constant dialogue. It's your life. Don't let anybody come between you and your partner. Certainly don't let other parents project their guilt onto you for trying to do better. So Sarah did end up apologizing in the end, and that's cool. I accepted that apology. Just know that whatever things that you're trying to go through, just deal with them yourself. There's no use putting other people down. 2, be explicitly clear about the budget. Money stress is strong when you're the only one generating income. So if you're the stay-at-home spouse, really realize this. As a result, make sure you and your spouse know your exact after-tax income in order to calculate how much of the income can be spent on supporting the family while also saving for retirement, paying down debt, and saving for your child's education. Don't just break down your expense budget by month. Figure out how much the family can spend by week and stick to it. After each week, review the actual expenses with the budget and give yourselves a high five celebrate when you spend less. This exercise will help reduce the sole income provider's anxiety because there will always be a little worry when even the person you trust the most is in charge of spending. Now, before our son was born, I gave my wife the carte blanche, green light to spend as much as she needed to prepare for our son's arrival. You know, we signed up for Amazon Prime, and she got everything, and she was awesome in getting everything that we needed, that our son needed. After our son was born, the green light continued for a full year without us discussing a single item of expense. And in retrospect, this was a bad move. We should have reviewed our budget because after the first year, I began carrying some anxiety for months that we were spending about 2.5 times more than reality. So it felt like such a relief after I actually saw the expense report when she tallied up the numbers. 3, practice gratitude. You're able to work and have a stay-at-home spouse. Gratitude always helps dissolve any festering resentment or bitterness. Instead of seeing being a sole income provider as a burden, see it as a luxury and as an honor. Two-parent households where both parents work full-time today account for about 46% of the population, compared to just 31% in the 1970s. This is according to Pew Research Center. Now, why is that? Well, it's simple. It just costs more and more to live with housing prices, tuition, and childcare. It's tough because wage inflation is not keeping pace. So if you can have the person you love and trust the most take care of your child full time before going off to preschool or kindergarten, it's a wonderful blessing. Remind each other daily of this luxury. 4, know that it gets better after your child goes to preschool or kindergarten. A child usually starts preschool between the age of 2 to 3 and kindergarten between the ages of 5 and 6. Therefore, no matter how much pain and suffering and frustration you're dealing with now, know that your schedule will get easier for both of you within 6 years for a developmentally normal child. As soon as you commit to a timeline goal, everything becomes easier to accomplish. For example, a lot of people ask me, how can I continue to publish several times a week since 2009? Well, to me, it's not that hard because I set a goal and I said I would do it for 10 years in a row. 10 years. So that 10-year anniversary is in 2019, July. And so to quit now would be a travesty. I'm so close. So I'm just going to keep on going no matter what. Sure, there will be more child-raising issues that come up as your little one ages. But with more sleep and free time during the day, you can do a lot more things. 5, take mental sick days very seriously. Feeling the pressure to provide is not a physical pressure, it's a mental pressure. Feeling the guilt of not being able to raise your children, instead paying someone you don't really know to raise your children, can be mental torture. When your mind breaks down, you don't do your best work. You become irritable, combative, and sometimes very volatile. Mental illness can lead to neglect, fights over stupid things, adultery, divorce, and sometimes even suicide. So for goodness sake, please don't be ashamed to take all your sick and vacation days. Please know the Family and Medical Leave Act is a federal law that guarantees certain employees up to 12 work weeks of unpaid leave each year with no threat of job loss. Be open with your colleagues about why you need time off. If they are good people, especially if they have families of their own, they'll understand. And then finally, 6, have your stay-at-home spouse generate some income. If gratitude, budgeting, patience, taking time off, and ignoring other parents' opinions don't work, the only solution left is to have your spouse start earning income again. The income can be generated preferably through freelance work or through a part-time job, and preferably after your son or daughter starts sleeping better, and preferably after they start going to school. And if you can run your own business from home, even better. Some households simply cannot afford to have one spouse stay at home until their little one goes to preschool or kindergarten. I understand that. Money stress can really strain a relationship, even if being a stay-at-home spouse is worth a $100,000 plus year job. Just know that there are now plenty of ways to make money online now through freelance marketplaces like Upwork, based here in San Francisco, or TaskRabbit. There are a dozen things you can do, from design and creative to admin support like data entry, transcription, web research, to customer service, sales and marketing, writing, IT and networking, analytics, translation, legal, engineering, architecture, accounting, and consulting. And if you have no skills in any of that, you can always perhaps drive for Uber or Lyft like I did when I gave over 500 rides to check it out and see what it was like. Just know there are a lot of things you can do now to make money from the comfort of your own home. Not only is my wife an amazing mom, she is also an amazing online business partner. I couldn't have done it without her for so long. Once our son started sleeping for at least 7 to 8 hours stretches on a regular basis, she began updating older posts with fresh content and writing new pages on top of the quarterly bookkeeping that she does. Not only did her work help our business, it also gave her a lot of pride and satisfaction as well. So definitely get your spouse involved if she or he has more time. As the sole income earning spouse, although it may not seem like you're doing enough when you come home to a tired and stressed out spouse who sometimes will make you feel guilty for being away from the house all day, know that you are doing a great, great service to your family. The person you trust the most can be a stay-at-home spouse because of you. Practice gratitude every day. Keep the dialogue running so resentment does not build up. Forgive each other the first 5 years before kindergarten, right? Give each other passes. Don't listen to the criticism of others who don't walk in your shoes. Please take time off to heal your mind. And finally, cherish every single moment, every single moment. I can't believe my son is 16 months old now. That time went by so quick. And I remember the day he was born, it was just like yesterday. And all these little milestone moments, from his first crawl, to his first step, to his first babble, are priceless. I wouldn't give up anything. And I hope everyone can figure out what best works for them. I'd love to hear your thoughts if you are a sole income provider and how you've been able to make things work and how you plan to make things work going forward. Thanks so much.